Standing, take your Bibles, please. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verses 14 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. Mark 16, verses 14 through 20. If you get to the book of Luke, look back one page, you're there. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we need you, Holy Spirit of God. Change the eternity of many people because of tonight's sermon. Change our mind, change our hearts, change our thinking, and change our actions because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus was meeting with the 11 disciples after the resurrection. You say, wait a minute, there were 12. This time there were only 11 because Judas Iscariot had already hanged himself and burst his guts out at the bottom of the hill that he had done it to. And he was dead and frying in hell because he was empowered by Satan himself. So there are 11 disciples here that Jesus is meeting with. He's already gone all the way through Calvary. He's gone through the Calvary process, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and he is about to go back to heaven. This is after the resurrection. He's been on earth for about 40 days. And I want you to notice something in Mark 16, verse number 15. He said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We call it the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. He taught them that they were to go into the world, preach the gospel, see people get saved, bring them to church, get them baptized, teach them to come to church, and teach them to go out, get people saved, bring them to church, and get them baptized, teach those people to go out, and that was going to be the Great Commission. That is exactly what Jesus' last words were to the disciples before he went back to heaven forever. I want you to notice something. Jesus did not suggest that we go soul winning. He said, go ye. Now, I know something about that. If my dad, when I was a child, looked at me and said, go there, he didn't say, would you please go do this? Right. Dad didn't ask please. If it was a command, it was go, get her done. Amen. Jesus didn't ask them to go take a survey and find out who might be more interested than somebody else. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, everybody doing all right? Hang on. We're going somewhere. Jesus didn't say, go and live right, and people are just going to flock to you and say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Do you know that? I better not use that word. Do you know that the people that use that verse, that when the prison was shaken and the jailer came to Paul and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Usually those are the deeper lifers that believe in work salvation, that you got to repent of all your sins and be sorry enough for your sin. You have to have a proof of change in your life. That jailer wasn't asking that fella. He wasn't asking Paul how he could go to heaven when he died.
That's right.
That fellow was asking, how do I save my neck? Because if these prisoners escape, I take on me all of the punishment and I'm about to die. How can I be spared? He wasn't asking about his eternity. He was asking about his present. They even messed that up, amen? Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't say that we were supposed to inspect people's lives and decide if they were sincere enough or not. Let me say that again. He didn't say we were supposed to inspect and find out how sincere they were. If a person's willing to listen to the gospel, bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, how much more sincere do you have to be? And I'm here to shout, there are people that have been saved that you don't even know about. See, he commanded us to take the gospel everywhere. Let me use an illustration I've used a lot lately. A mail carrier doesn't sort through your mail and decide what bills he's going to give you this week. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you wonder if he saves them up and gives them to you on the same day. But he doesn't sort through your mail and say, okay, well, they might be having a tough time, so I'll give them this one this week, and we'll hold off on that for a couple months before we give it to them, because the guy's going to lose his job, isn't he? It's not the mail carrier's job to decide what mail you get. It's his job to deliver the mail. By the way, I don't know how else to say this. When we go soul winning, our part is to get the gospel out. We're not accountable for how people receive it. We're accountable for giving it. You know, I'm going to stand before God for delivering the message. They'll stand before God for paying the bills, put in common language. You know, the mailman delivers the mail. I have to pay the bill. If the bill doesn't get paid, they don't go after the mailman. They come after me. Everybody doing all right? Same thing in soul winning. Soul winning is you go out and deliver the gospel. What people do with it is between them and God. Your responsibility is to go. Their responsibility is to get saved. Now, for instance, many times in the Bible, God references soul winning and fishing. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. How many of you have ever gone fishing and not caught anything? Raise your hand. Amen, Brother June, raise your hand. Did you know, even though you didn't catch anything, you went fishing? Can I tell you something? You can go soul winning and not have somebody saved, but you still went soul winning. God didn't say that it's your responsibility to have people saved every time you go. Now, I do know this. The more times you go fishing, the better chance you have of getting something caught. If you never go fishing, you're not going to catch a fish. Y'all doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Hold on, it's going to get better. Too many Christians want to judge soul winning based on results. If we don't see the results, we think it's not working. Well, who are you to judge whether it worked or not? Hang on. Can I tell you something? You don't know what the results are. As long as they're still sucking air, there's hope. I don't know at what point when someone gets saved, but I've been through the gospel with people, left them a gospel tract. They didn't get saved, but I said, when you're alone by yourself, you do this. I've had them call me and say, you know what? This is, you know, 12 hours later, they've called me and said, you know, I couldn't get away from that. After work today, I did that. Ooh, praise the Lord. So I guess if you only judged by what happened at the door, soul winning didn't work. But did it work? Huh. I planted beans this week. Guess what? They're not up yet. Maybe they didn't work. We'll find out eventually. Too early to tell, amen? You don't plant beans seeds today and harvest beans tomorrow. It takes months. Can I tell you something? Soul winning's the same way. Now, very quickly, we're not to measure success of soul winning based on one thing. I'm going to share something tonight. Title of my sermon is this, the purposes of soul winning. There are four main purposes of soul winning. I promise you, you've never heard a sermon like this. I need you to pay attention. Listen to me. Number one, the main purpose of soul winning is to get the gospel to all men so that they don't have to die and go to hell. Say it again. The main purpose of soul winning is for us to get the gospel to every person so that they don't have to die and go to hell. But our responsibility is to get the gospel out. Their response to it is between them and God. You know, I can't make Joe Heaney listen to me. I can't make Harry Sear listen to me. Now, Kathy can make him listen. You know, I can't make Brother June listen to me. Dead sure can't make Miss Sue listen to me. I'm teasing. I can't make people listen to me, but I can get up and preach, and what you do with it is between you and God. My responsibility ends by giving the truth. How you live it is between you and God. Does everybody understand that? Why is it then that we think that we've got to have the results right when we go, or it just didn't work? You know, God placed, listen to this statement, God placed the responsibility of the gospel of Christ going out on us. He put the responsibility of the preaching of the gospel and soul winning on we humans. God did his part. Now it's our turn to do our part. Guess what? Because we were the sinners, we were the ones that disobeyed, he now expects us to do the work to fix what we broke. Let me say that again. We broke it. God didn't intend for us to die and go to hell. He paid the price so we didn't have to go there, but he said, I'm putting it on you to get it to everybody else because you broke it. Your turn to get it out there. God paid the price for our salvation. He put the faith necessary in man for man to get saved. He gave us his word, exactly what we needed to show us how to get saved. And he gave us a Holy Spirit to empower us to go out and give it. But may I tell you something? If you're sitting there doing nothing with it, people are dying and going to hell. God did his part. Are you doing your part? You know, God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, that's laziness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you something? That's only going to happen when we get the gospel out there to all people. Now, listen to me very carefully. You got these pussyfooting liberals that are too lazy to go out there and go soul winning and knock on doors, whether they see the results for it or not. And they'll say, well, soul winning, this is a different era. You can't go door to door soul winning anymore and see people saved in one conversation. Whoever says that, go like this. They're full of beans. All right. People who say that they're too intelligent for that. People need their have their minds mentally stimulated before it affects their heart. Garbage. God said, go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the main purpose of soul winning is to get the gospel to all men so they don't have to die and go to hell. Number two. Second purpose of soul winning is for Christians to be obedient to God. Wait a minute. We're supposed to go out so people don't have to die and go to hell, but it's also a command of God. Listen to me. God already provided everything, but are we obeying God? Soul winning is a matter of obeying God. Now, I'm not saying if you're not here at 6:30 on Tuesday night or 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, people can't get saved. But we ought to be actively telling people how to get saved, passing out gospel tracts, all that kind of stuff. Good night, Brother Joe was at Walmart today. Guy looked at them and said, "Did y'all go to church today?" He said, "We sure did." He said, "Well, I didn't get to. I had to work." Joe said, "Where do you go?" And they went, he said, "I go to the living room." Hey, and Joe said, "Man, I was faster than all get out," handed him a tract and said, "Why don't you come to a real church?" I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Can I tell you something? That's called soul winning a little bit. Now, he couldn't stand there and take the guy's time up at Walmart necessarily because he was on the clock. But may I say this, he got the gospel to him. That's what soul winning is all about. God expects us to obey his command. I'm going to make a statement here. God didn't command us to see people saved. He commanded us to get the gospel to every creature. But just like in fishing, the more times you cast, the better chance you have of getting something on that hook. If you went fishing one time, threw the line out one time, and didn't catch anything, you say, "Well, this fishing stuff just doesn't work." Can I tell you something? It does work. You just got to keep casting the line. Sometimes you got to cast in different places. But may I say this? You still got to throw the line out. You got to do what you're supposed to do. Now, I personally believe the more times you go soul winning, the more times you tell people the gospel, the better chance you have of seeing somebody get saved. I believe that. But that's the way it's supposed to be. When we get the gospel out, we're obeying God. By the way, in our obedience of going out soul winning, we are teaching others to obey God with soul winning. And we are teaching other Christians, even if they've never been saved, once they get saved, somebody will say, "Somebody knocked on my door. I guess that's how everybody's supposed to get saved." They find it in the Bible. They hear it preached and they'll say, "That's what they've been doing. I guess I should go out and go tell somebody about Jesus." And our obedience will help somebody else obey by going out and go soul winning. Boy, that's good stuff. Folks, Jesus didn't suggest. He didn't say, "Well, if you have the gift of soul winning, you go soul winning." There is no such thing as the gift of soul winning. Not there. Everybody doing all right? "Well, I don't like people, so I'm not real good at this." Can I tell you something? I've met enough people, I don't like some of them either. And I said it last Sunday morning in my sermon, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Who are we to choose, pick and choose who dies and goes to heaven and who dies and goes to hell? Man, I've knocked on doors, Brother Gus, thinking this person opened the door, and I'm thinking there is no way on God's little green earth that person's going to listen to me. I've started talking to them. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Thinking, well, I'm here. I got to get the gospel out. Look at that big old tough dude, 6'8", 477 pounds. Got more tattoos than the parlor had. Looks like he got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and lost. Hadn't said but 10 words to me. One word answers to everything. Say, "Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven?" No. I went through the gospel with him. Said, "Now, if you'd like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, bow your head and close your eyes and watch that big old turkey go." Thinking, Shazam, he did it. Watch that man pray out loud. Now, if you would have asked me standing at the door and I would have been God, I would have said, "That one ain't going to listen." I've led a whole bunch of them like that to the Lord. Amen. Then you got the one that comes to the door in his suit and tie, greets you very kindly, and you're thinking, "Now this guy's going to listen to me." And as soon as you get out about the church, "I'm not interested." Whack! See, if we do the judging, we're playing God. It's our job to get the gospel out to every creature. We're not supposed to decide whether they're going to listen or not. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Number three. Third purpose of soul winning, listen to this. First two are pretty obvious. The second two aren't quite as obvious. Third purpose of soul winning is so that there is more power of the Holy Spirit being used so that more people see the power of God, so that more people will get saved. Let me show you something. Brother Stoltz, come here for a moment. You stand right here. When Brother Stoltz before he got saved, he was body and soul. His spirit was dead. When he got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of him. He became body, soul, and spirit. And the Holy Spirit moved inside him and now indwells him. Guess what? Where he goes, the Holy Spirit goes. The presence of God is where he's at. Now watch this. That means this. When Brother Stoltz goes soul winning and he goes down here and talks to Brother Gus, because he's a dirty, wicked, rotten, good-for-nothing, low-down, scum-of-the-earth sinner, and starts soul winning, the Holy Spirit inside him starts working on him, saying, you ought to listen to him. You ought to listen to him. You ought to get saved. And the moment that he realizes he needs that, he gets saved. Same Holy Spirit inside him moves inside of him. Now watch this. Thank you. I'm glad you got saved, by the way. We'll baptize you in just about 15 minutes. wait a minute. I told somebody this week, can you imagine right after the rapture how nasty this world's going to be with no presence of God on it? When the rapture takes place, everybody who is saved goes to heaven, and there will be no presence of God on the earth. You think it's bad now? You think it's mean and nasty now? Take all the love of the Christians and the power of God out of this place and see how bad it gets in a hurry. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'll ask Brother Ron what it's like when he gets to heaven. Can I tell you something? It's going to get nasty in a hurry. The Holy Spirit is what's holding on to our world to keep us from total destruction now. When the presence of God is gone, the Holy Spirit is lifted, it's going to get bad in a hurry. So when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit indwells them, and it is the power of God on earth. It's the Holy Spirit who works with the Word of God that empowers you to go soul winning. Now, you can win somebody to Christ without using your Bible. I suggest using your Bible. You can win somebody to Christ, if I can get my New Testament out of my pocket here. Good night. You can win somebody to Christ by showing them the Bible verses on the back of the gospel tract. And I'm not opposed to that, but I personally believe, and I like using my Bible. I like showing them what God says, not what I say. I like showing them what God says, and sometimes that tract represents the church to them. So I like showing them what God says more than the church says, because what God has to say is more important. I believe that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, shows them what the Word of God says. Brother Joe, I stand there next to your barn talking to your daddy this last summer. Brother Ron and I were there. Your daddy was lost. I began talking to him. He asked me a question and said, here it is in the Bible. Here it is in the Bible. Here it is in the Bible. The Bible says, Bible says, Bible says. That tough old man looked at me, and he's not that old. That tough feller looked at me and said, you know, nobody's ever showed me from the Bible the things you've said. I need to get saved. Bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Can I tell you why? Because the Word of God worked him over. I mean, just worked him over. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this very carefully. It wasn't the preacher. It's the Word of God. And it was the Holy Spirit in using the Word of God that broke through that heart of sin, showing him his need of a Savior. And then the Holy Spirit moved inside him. By the way, when people see the Holy Spirit in you and they sense the Holy Spirit in you, they're more likely to listen to you. Because you have the Holy Spirit speaking words through you, and it has more impact. And by the way, the more people we get saved on this earth, the more presence of God there will be on this earth. Can I tell you what America needs? It's not necessarily a good politician in the White House. I don't know that those two things go together, good and politician. But we don't need a good politician. We need more people to get saved. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Folks, the more people we get saved, watch this, the more chance we have of having a better nation. By the way, the non-Christian nations are the nations that are the most vile, violent, and immoral nations of the world. Let me say that again. The non-Christian nations, the ones who do not believe in that book right there, are the most vile, violent, nasty, immoral nations of the world. I said it this morning. Our Bible doesn't say if you disagree with God that you should be killed. But the Muslim Bible does, the Quran. Everybody doing all right? You say, I don't think you ought to say that. Okay, don't say it, but I will. It is our job to take the gospel to see more people get saved. The more people that get saved, the better chance we have of changing our country. Can I tell you what the problem with the violence in the streets in America with our people today is? People shooting each other, killing each other in the streets, running down the roads with guns, just spraying bullets everywhere. They need to get saved. I'll promise you, in those neighborhoods, less people are saved per square inch than other places. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. Last point. And there's no poems, so hang on. Last purpose of soul winning. Now listen to this. This is important. It helps us get our eyes off ourselves and keeps us from judging other people's sin. Did you know, Brother Stoltz, for Brother Stoltz and I to go out soul winning, we'll meet here maybe, and we'll go out soul winning. Do you know we don't talk about all the bad things going on? We're going out and we're going to tell this family how to get saved. And we're going to go tell that lady how to get saved and those girls how to get saved. And God knows that guy needs to get saved. And we're definitely going to tell April how to get saved because she needs it real bad. And we've already been to Ellen and she's refused it, but we'll go again. Did you know that by the time we get done and somebody gets saved or we've gotten the gospel out and people are interested or people are listening, maybe somebody gets saved, maybe they don't. Do you know, we're getting pretty excited, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. We have forgotten what problems we did have. Do you know what? When I go soul winning and somebody bows their head and gets saved, let's say we come down here and we go talk to Evan and Evan bows his head and he gets saved. I don't say, now, how much did you mean that? How sorry were you?
Mostly.
Folks, that's stupid. It really is. But you know what? We go back, man, we're having a good time. Man, wasn't that great? Let's do that again. Yeah, all of a sudden you forgot. Thank you. You forgot whatever problems you had. You're not so focused on what somebody else said to you or what somebody posted on Facebook. Can I tell you something? Quit looking at Facebook and put your face in the book. Good night. I'm going to unload for a second. I want to vomit every time I hear the term cyberbullying. We have people committing suicide that because somebody said something mean in Facebook. Folks, I wasn't knee-high to a grasshopper when my dad and my mom taught me sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you forever. Who cares what they say? We live in such a sissy society.
That's right.
Well, you might offend somebody. You don't want to live your Christianity too strong. You might offend somebody. Bless God, their lack of living Christianity offends me. It offends God.
Yes.
Two sodomites walking down the road hugging on each other offends me.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We are sinners. We're all sinners. Can I tell you something? The only difference between you and the lost world is salvation. There are lost sinners and saved sinners. Quit being a saved sinner trying to judge how saved a sinner is. That's where we've gone with Christianity in our world today. Well, how sorry were they for, how sincere were they? I'm so tired of that garbage. Well, you say you've had over 2,000 people saved in your church in the last 3.5 years. How many of those people really meant it? I say as much as the 2 that got saved in your church. And most of them can't even say. Thank God Gus has got more sense than they've got. Folks, who are we to judge somebody's sincerity?
Yes, sir.
We don't know.
Amen.
We have no idea. Keep your pharisaical snoot to yourself and obey God.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that spiritual growth can transplant and delay growth sometimes? Did you know that about October, November, farmers will plant winter wheat? Yeah, or December if you're Joe because you're too late to get out there. That stuff will grow a little bit and it stops for about 3 months. It just quits growing. Well, I guess we're not going to have any harvest this next summer. Oh, wait a minute. It's delaying its growth on purpose. It's got to jump for the new year, but may I say this, the growth stops for a while. Who are you to judge somebody else's growth? Let me tell you a story. This is a sweet story. I got a couple stories to tell you. A lady, my daughter, was working her bus route in Winchester, Kentucky. This is amazing to me. Somebody on her bus route, one of the other workers, knocked on a door, and she said they moved there from Hammond, Indiana, years ago. The young man that knocked on her door said, "Really, did you go to church there?" She said, "I did. I used to go to First Baptist Church under Brother Hiles." That young man perked up. That young man knows me. He said, "Really?" He said, "How'd you get there?" She said, "I used to go to a Bible club and rode a bus." He said, "Really? Whose bus did you ride?" She said, "It was Brother Bush's bus." He said, "Brother Bush used to be my principal. Brother Bush's daughter works this bus route. Her kids are now going to church on my daughter's bus route. She used to be a bus kid of my wife and I's." But I guess soul winning doesn't work, does it? Everybody doing all right? I had no idea. I'm going to tell you another story. Brother Stoltz's son-in-law was a bus kid. He rode my son Joshua's bus route, and I think Josh led him to the Lord. I really think. But either way, he rode my son's bus route. Later, he, and of course Rachel worked that bus route. That's how they met. Now he's married with 2 children. We baptized him a couple weeks ago, joined our church. He brought visitors to church last week. You know, he told his father-in-law, he said, "This soul winning thing, you think you could teach it to me?"
Amen.
Whew. That's like saying sick him to a bulldog. Good night. But I guess it doesn't work, does it? Who are we to judge years and years and years ago, 10, 15 years ago, whether that young man really got saved or not? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I was in Monterrey, Mexico. I went and preached in a little village, oh, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away, up in the mountains. I was the only non-Spanish person there. You talk about a gringo, it was me. They came just to find out what the gringo was doing there, amen? I preached to it was a walled building with no roof. We had about 30 people crammed into this little hut. I preached to them. We had a bunch of people saved because I had an interpreter with me. This lady came up and she said, I got saved a long time ago. She was speaking through the interpreter. And I said, really, where? She said, in the Chicago area. I said, where at in the Chicago area? She said, I used to ride a bus from Chicago to Hammond, Indiana, and I got saved at a big church in downtown Hammond, Indiana. I said, Dr. Jack Hiles? She said, how'd you know? I said, because he's in town preaching in Monterey. Bus kid from Chicago in Monterey area, all over the world. But I guess soul winning doesn't work, does it? We have no idea. None. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know, according to the Bible, that just because you don't show proof of growing, that you don't die and go to hell? The Bible says, he that believeth not is damned. Wow. Did you know that there were two thieves on the cross with Jesus? One got saved, one did not. How long did that one that got saved have time to prove that he got saved? He didn't even get baptized. But Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He never went to church one time. I wonder how sorry he was for his sins. Anybody doing all right? Wonder how sincere he was. Oh, that was just a jailhouse conversion. No, that was a cross conversion. That was sitting in the execution chamber before they put the needle in his veins conversion. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who are we to judge somebody else getting saved? Salvation cares for the judgment of our sin. Why do we humans want to judge each other? Instead of judging, why don't we just take the gospel and take it to every creature? Four purposes of soul winning. One, to keep people out of hell. Get the gospel to every creature. Number two, it's so that there's more Holy Spirit power on the earth. Three, it's so that we can be obedient. And four, it keeps us from looking at ourselves and gets our eyes off our own problems and quit judging other people. Do you know, in going soul winning, you'll learn how to love people better? I had somebody tell me one day, you're just sheltering your children way too much. When they get out in the world, they're not going to know how to exist. I said, well, number one, I don't plan on my children going out in the world and living like the world. I said, number two, my children are going soul winning and they're seeing what you're doing and they're smart enough to say, I don't want to end up like that. You know, I didn't have to teach my children an awful lot about what alcohol does. They all worked bus routes and found out when daddy comes home drunk and starts beating on mama and starts vomiting all over the yard and everything else, they probably ought not do that. I didn't have to teach my children how to love their spouse. They watched their mom and dad stay married the whole time that they were growing up in our home and still are married happily. Thank God. Watch this. But they've worked with bus kids that don't even know who their parents really are. And they say, boy, am I glad I got a mom and dad that care. I guess I ought to care. Can I tell you something? Soul winning does an awful lot more for us than we know. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to tell anybody about the Savior? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask something that I don't normally ask. But in a moment, when the piano begins to play, I think every person in this room that's saved ought to either use this altar or use where you're sitting as your altar and ask God to help you get the gospel out. Some don't have the physical ability to get out and go door to door. I understand, but there's things that we can do.